Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And of course, again, we have a very, very, very special guest. I'm going to introduce her in a second, but I just want to say that the Getting Real with Hillary Show is a show where we talk about things that people don't always talk about. And I know, you know, sometimes we want to look good. We don't want to be vulnerable. And today's guest is willing to share her story, her, you know, what she went through, overcoming adversity, life and challenges. And she really is, you know, a success today, someone who I highly admire, her power, her confidence. And, you know, to look at her, you'd never know what she went through. So I really just want to thank Jackie Jackson, known as the Jackie Jackson, for being on the show and for being willing to tell her story today. So welcome, Jackie.
Hillary, hello. I am so excited and happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor. So let's see. So we were talking and, you know, when I asked Jackie what would make this special, she said, you know, to be able to share her story and inspire others. And I just really, you know, she's a success in her own right. She's got a successful business, but really she wants to tell her story. And I'll just say it for you. I mean, you know, the purpose of this show is so that people can listen to other people's stories. You know, maybe they find themselves in those situations and they can say, hey, if Jackie did it, then I can too. So thank you so much for being willing. And let's start back. She was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. She said she was a latchkey kid. And so what was that like? I know you had an interesting family, Jackie.
Yes, I actually did. Both of my parents are immigrants, right? So here I am in the United States. Of all of my siblings, I'm the first generation American-born citizen. All of my siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmother, grandfather, all relatives have been born outside of the United States in the Caribbean, in Jamaica. So I was raised in a dual cultural home in Brooklyn, New York. So growing up, I grew up with my mom for the most part, and my father stayed on the island. So I grew up kind of like in a single parent home is basically what a lot of people would coin that as. And my mom worked a lot. She had four children. I was the fourth one. I'm the only girl. I had three older brothers. So she was always working, whether she had two jobs or three jobs simultaneously. I don't even know how she did it. But I remember being about maybe 9 years old or so. And she said to me, listen, you're old enough. Go to school by yourself. Here's this key. Let yourself in when you get out of school. And don't open the door. Don't answer the phone. Don't go to the window. If I'm going to call you to check on you, I'm going to call twice. The phone's going to, because back then we didn't have call waiting. We didn't have.
Right. Or caller ID. No call. Right. Oh my God.
We didn't have any of those things. So mom said, I'm going to call twice, right? So ring twice, hang up. And then she's going to call back. And then that's when I'll know that it's her and I can pick up the phone and she can check on me. So my entire school age life from elementary school through middle school, high school, as well as through college was done in New York City. Yep. New York City in the early, what's that, 90s, I guess, 80s, 90s.
So you literally went home and locked yourself in.
I did. And that was exactly my entire childhood. My mom was always so afraid. My brothers, they had free rein. They had a lot more freedom than I did, but I had a lot of restrictions. So my mom would not let me outside because she wasn't present to watch me, do any of those things. So I would literally have to watch my friends and all the other kids in the neighborhood from the window, like just peeking through the curtain. So I was the little girl that peeked through the curtain and never got to play outside, never got dirty, never got any of those things because my mom, I love her so much, but she did raise me in her fear. Her fear of what if and what happens and all of those different things. So it was a really interesting childhood.
So what kind of job was she doing? And did your father, was he, did he not support her? So she just had to raise the four kids herself?
You know what? My dad supported, definitely supported me. My brothers and I have different fathers, but how my father supported me was through my holidays. He would send for me, and I would actually live in Jamaica with him for all of my school vacations. So summer vacations and Christmases, I would be spending that time on the island with my relatives and just having a whole different type of lifestyle, right? So I had more freedom when I was in the islands, running around barefoot, sunshine, and just play. And then when I would come back to the United States, it was definitely restrictions and, just really tight rein. So I had this dual life thing going, really confusing.
And did you ever want to stay in Jamaica? Did you ever ask, or you, or that wasn't, did you ever think of that?
You know what? It wasn't even up to me because back then
No,
I was a minor, right? So
right. Wow.
even if I wanted to, that really wasn't the plan or the stars, right? And plus, all of
Right.
my education was done here in the United States, and I was a really good student. I mean, I really didn't have anything else to do but to read and entertain myself that way. So academically, I did everything that my parents told me. My parents, like I said, are not from the United States, and they saw financial freedom in the following order: go to school, get good grades, and then get a good job. And then one day you may retire or have this life that, people dream of, right? The dream life people are trying to get after, at least what they wanted for me. So that was their advice, and I was pretty locked in on those plans.
And how much older were your brothers? Was there anyone close to you, or they were much older?
They were much older than I.
Okay.
Yeah. So that also played into the part why they had so much more freedom than me. Even my children today, I followed a similar path as my mom, ironically, because my children are 9 and a half, almost 10 years apart. So I laugh and I say that I have two single children, right? I have two only children because they don't share anything other than, me. Sharing me
Right.
with a parent at all.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So that was that. And then you said you wanted to be a performer. When did that come into play? Couldn't have been when you were locked in the house, right? Or was it? Or was it?
Actually discovered that during that period of time in my childhood, and I'll share exactly what that looked like. So I had a lot of freedom in the Caribbean with my dad, and then when I lived with my mom, I had a lot more restriction. When I would visit my dad, I would have huge family gatherings, a lot of extended family. They always got together, and they always had a performance. So the kids were always dancing. There was always music. There was always entertainment. There was always a talent show. There was always something that the adults wanted the kids to participate in and just be part of, like the entertainment of the extended family. We always had a lot of get-togethers, and I discovered myself during that period of time that, wait a minute, I'm pretty good at this. They would always, like, my cousins would always push me in front and be like, all right, you go in the front. And then I would be the choreographer, and I would be dancing. I would be making people laugh, and it was always a really great time. So I came back to the United States, and I remember telling my mom that I wanted to go to Barbizon. I think it was one of those modeling schools, acting schools. And she was like, "No, no, that's not what we're doing.
That ain't
No, it isn't." So tough for that, and I remember her saying, she's like, "Yeah, you're good, but you're not that good. So just go ahead and just finish your education. That's a sure thing."
And were you crushed? Or did you just go, okay?
Horribly crushed.
Oh, how old were
Horrible.
you then? How old were you at
My
that time?
word. Oh my goodness, Hillary, you're bringing me back. I would probably say it was a range between 11 and 13. So in my, adolescent years, I discovered that I had a gift for being an orator and for being a performer. And I knew that that was what brought me joy in my life. I was very, very good at presentations and speaking in front of crowds, and never had any struggles as far as being a people person by any means. But my parents were not having it. It was entertaining, right? But not as an occupation. In the Caribbean, they have a culture that the basic career paths are doctors, lawyers, accountants, nurses. If it's not one of those four, it doesn't really exist. They're like, what is that? We don't understand what that means. What do you do? Even today, my mom still and my parents are still asking, what do you do? They just don't understand it. It doesn't connect to them because it's not a traditional career path that they assume people normally take.
Amazing. Now, did you also sing and dance? So you danced. Did you also sing and stuff, or you were just good at the speaking part?
I sang in college, right? So in college, I did sing and I performed the national anthem in front of, I know, major, right? So
Where
I really
did you go? Was it a Where'd
oh.
you go? Was it a huge school?
Yeah, well, it was a city university, a CUNY school, and it's
Okay.
York College. So I graduated from York College. With my bachelor's in psychology. Why? Because I love talking to people. It only made sense.
Wow. And that's in the city? That is that in the city?
Is right in
Okay.
the within the five boroughs. It's in Queens. Yes. Yeah, so I grew
Okay.
up in Brooklyn on the streets of Brooklyn, taking the public transportation and the buses and the trains and everything and connect. As a matter of fact, because I went to a purely academic school for students that were high scholars and high achievers, it was really far away from my home. And I would have to travel on the New York City subway system as well as the buses. So it was one bus and two trains to get to school every single day and had to do the reverse backwards as well.
Now, was this college or high school?
I was taking public transportation from elementary school all the way through college. Oh, yes. I was literally raising myself in Brooklyn.
Wow. Now, were you in one of the, like, I know my father, he called it science. He went to the Bronx High School of Science. Did you go to one of those special high schools?
I sure did. I went to John Dewey High School in Brooklyn, New York. And they're known for their academics, and they mirror a college preparation environment. So it was really unique and it was wonderful. I still have like lifelong friends that I attended school with. So it was a powerful experience for me to have at that particular point. They became my family. That was my outlet because at home I didn't have much self-expression there.
Wow. And you were the only kid home. The boys were gone, right? They were old, right? Wow.
You're correct. So I
So
was.
you were like a schizophrenic, right? Like, you're out in the world, la la la, and then you're home alone. That's right.
Yeah, it was like having like a dual personality. And
Yeah.
when I became an adult, I didn't really realize that I was managing this unrealistic way of being because I was so oppressed in one area of my life, and in another area, I was outgoing and bubbly and the life of the party whenever I was present in a social environment. But deep down inside, I was struggling with self-esteem. I was struggling with confidence. I was struggling with identity. And that played a huge role and influence in my life as an adult. And it also played a huge role in my life in relationships, as well as in my business too.
Oh, and I'm just curious, just for me, which one of the personalities was the closest to the real you that you've discovered since then, would you say? The outgoing one?
Well, the outgoing one, she just comes naturally. I don't really have to
Okay.
think about her a lot, but she also is my defense mechanism. So the happy face, the smile, all of those things are meant to pretend that everything is okay when it isn't, right? So it became a place where I could hide my pain. I could morph into a character and be someone else instead of being myself, instead of addressing that hurt and that the unfinished, incomplete business that I needed to complete in my life.
And what was that? The unfinished stuff.
Yeah, was actually being with myself, being alone and having those experiences of isolation and not really having anybody to talk to or express myself with. I believe that when I was growing up and being at home, part of what I really wanted was to have the opportunity to share, right? So that stifled not being able to share actually hindered my development as a person, right? So that part of me always stayed really small and I made it really insignificant. So when I went out into the real world and I'm trying to discover who I am, I just really did not know. So I found myself just flapping in the wind and pretending to be something else that I wasn't. And I was really good at pretending. Very much, very, very much so. And but that only lasts but so long. At some point, I had to address those personal development issues, invest in myself, and just really come to terms with, no, I am okay. I am who I am, and it's okay for me to not to smile. It's okay for me not to laugh and to not to be the joy of the party, and just for me to be myself. I learned that.
Wow, okay. So interesting, yeah. So you got through college, you got your BA, and anything else interesting happened in college that we talked about before?
Oh, yes. Major things happened, Hillary, in college. So what happened to me in college, first time, being out in the world and having the affection and attention of a young man. So while I was a sophomore, I believe it was, so our upper classman, I got pregnant. That was my first experience of being in love. And I wanted to be wanted. Thinking back to that experience, I wanted to have the buy-in of that of being important to someone, since I didn't really have that experience a lot in my adolescence of having that affection and someone telling me that they love me all the time. I was always alone. So when I had that first experience with someone paying me attention and telling me that they love them, oh, I was head over heels. That was it for me. That was my first experience. So I got pregnant in college. And when I got pregnant in college, my boyfriend at the time, unbeknownst to me, was also dating another young lady, and he got her pregnant too. So now there's two of us that are pregnant at the same time. Yes, Hillary, true story, real thing.
Now, can I just ask, what about did you, and I'm not judging because I have heard the story, but did you not know about birth control? Did he just say, hey, don't worry about it? Like, was that not something, because I was lucky enough to have people tell me this could happen, so I became very careful for the most part. But did you not have that? Did you just like just what was were you not thinking about it? Like just what? Do you mind
Oh
answering?
yeah, great question. I mean, like, why would I have a daughter now? So, like, these are conversations that we're having openly and candidly with each other. I've had an experience with that, right? So, for me at that time, it was definitely birth control, right? And then I was like, "What? I'm pregnant. I don't understand." I was totally ignorant. Like, what? I didn't know that could even be a thing, to actually have contraception and still be pregnant and all of those things, right? Because I just didn't have those conversations with my parents. And they were very, very disappointed in me because
But you did, But you did use contraception and
Yes.
still, so it
And
wasn't like you were like, la la la. You actually did use it. Wow. So that's okay. Yeah.
so
Okay. So they were disappointed, you
yes,
know.
disappointed, go to school, get good grades, and get a good job. That's the narrative. So my mom, she didn't speak to me for like 6 months. I know, on top of not speaking to me before.
And you were living in her house still.
And her house was like two strangers. So here's this young girl, needing direction, needing guidance, needing support, needing love. And no, I did not get it. And then on top of that, the young man that I was dating, he was like, "Well, I got this other girl pregnant over here, so I actually want to be with her. I really don't want to be with you." And I was like, "Wait, what?" So I went through the entire 9 months of pregnancy by myself. So I was a single mom from like conception. So that in itself is huge adversity.
And your mom wasn't talking to you.
No, I
And did
felt
you
like
have any
a bubble gum.
friends? Could you
Yes.
have talked to? Okay.
Yeah. So my high school friends that I mentioned to you earlier were really my family during those periods of time. The people that I could lean on and I could be vulnerable with, and I could just talk and I could just sit and I could just cry. Those were the girls that really were my support mechanism during that period of time because I really didn't have it at home at all. So at the period of time that I did get pregnant, the math worked. So I was pregnant for 9 months, and then we had our summer break for college. So I had my son in the summer, and then I went back to school for the fall. So I didn't have any break in time. And what I did was I changed my schedule, obviously. So I changed my schedule. Now I'm working full time, 9 to 5. Oh yes, because I had to support myself. I didn't have a baby daddy. It was just me and the
Were you still living at your mom's though?
still living at mom.
Where you now had more expenses. Okay,
Yeah,
wow.
now I have more expenses. So full-time employment, 9 to 5. My son attended daycare during that period of time while I was working. My mom also was working. I don't think she ever stopped working, but what she did commit to do to assist me was to pick up my son from daycare. And then what I did is I went to night school. So I changed my classes to evening classes, and then Saturday classes is what I did. So I went to school from 6 to 11 p.m. and then half day on Saturday. And no matter what time I got home, remember, Hillary, we were talking about the public transportation. So two trains and a bus to get back home. Sometimes I would get home, 11:30, midnight. My mom would be waiting for me at the door with my baby, my son. And she's like, "Take your baby." And I was like, "Okay." So it does it, my days during those times were just, I don't remember even sleeping. So it was working full time, being a full time mom, and still going to school full time. And I made it through. And I did graduate, and I graduated on time with my graduating class, and that was what happened during that period of time. It definitely taught me resilience. It definitely taught me what is possible when you put your mind to it, for sure.
I'm tired just thinking about it. I'm like, can we take a nap and then we'll get back to the rest of the show? Wow. Oh my God. Wow. Whew. And you made it like on time. That's incredible. That's really incredible. So let's just give you a little hand just for that alone. Okay. All right. So you graduated. So I'm assuming your mom watched him sometime or you just had daycare. Wow. That's incredible. Okay. So you did that. All right. And then you went to, so you got a job when you graduated, right?
I entered corporate America because now, I have a college degree, and why not go to school, get good grades, get a good job, right? So I entered into the workforce, into corporate America, and in true Jackie Jackson style, with the glitz and the glam and the big smile and the positive attitude, I used personality to work my way up to the corporate ladder, to VP, vice president in banking. And the reason why I think I did so well in corporate America is because I definitely had a lot of charm and charisma about me, but I was able to use my skills of being a performer and an entertainer with my clients at that time, working within corporate America. And that definitely helped, especially with dealing with different personalities and working with leadership. It was definitely an asset to me at that time, for sure.
And what kind of, like, what were you actually doing at the bank? Like, what kind of banking or what kind of clients?
Yes. So what I remember the most that I absolutely loved in banking was real estate and mortgages. Real estate and mortgages, my favorite topic, and personal finance. I just love that stuff. So they put me into real estate. I had my life, health and variable. Probably, I can't even remember what it was. Life, health, and variable annuities license. That's what it is.
Annuity. Yeah. Okay.
Life, health, and annuities license. Then I had my mortgage broker license, and I had another insurance license. So I'm a true scholar, overachiever, getting all of these licenses. So I was well equipped and knowledgeable about traditional financing and how things worked and things like that. So when I was working in mortgages, I would exceed goals, real estate. And I met a lot of real estate investors during that period of time. I would help them with their transactions. I would help them with their wire transaction, things like that. So I would be talking to them and just picking their brain and like, hey, tell me how you do. I knew they did things differently than how the bank did it, but it just didn't occur to me how much different it was being a real estate investor versus being like a traditional homeowner that purchased their property to live in as their primary residence. I didn't realize that there was a whole different world, a whole different language, and a whole different like vocabulary and way of doing real estate and investing. I just thought it was all the same.
Wow. Now, just one question. When you got all those, the mortgage and the real estate license, and did you do that during work time or you did that at night? Like, did they pay for all that? Did they give you time to study?
I independently went and got all of those licenses.
Of course you did, right? I
Wouldn't I? I'm
was
trying.
thinking you could study at work, get paid, they pay for it. No, you have, wow. Okay,
I'm
good.
trying. I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
At one point, as a young woman, late 20s or mid 20s, late 20s. A six-figure earner. At that time, I was a road warrior, what they call being out on the road doing sales calls all the time, always out meeting with clients and things like that. And you have to remember also, I did have a son.
Oh my God.
I did have a child. So for him, in his early years, what I told myself is I was doing it for my son, right? I'm doing it for him. I need to provide and support him, my son. So for his early years, I found myself making the same mistakes that my mom did. My mom was always working. She was always away, and her concern at the time always was keeping a roof over our head, feeding, clothing, those things. That was love. If she
Yes.
had food, shelter, and clothes, that was love. And I didn't even know that I was falling into that same trap, that same mentality, and not really being present for raising my son. And I had to make some adjustments somewhere along the line in my timeline and recognizing that. And even now that my son is a adult and I have a second child where I'm at a different place in my life, I went back and I had to address that with my son and apologize to him for not being present in his early stages in his life too. So that was a
Wow.
when growing
Wow.
and I was in corporate America for sure.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to continue with this incredible story after our sponsor break from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Jackie. This is fascinating.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Welcome back to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And thank you again to our sponsor, Kikori. If you want to bring social emotional learning to your schools and your children, please go to kikoriapp.com and schedule a consultation with Haley. That's my daughter. And that was her voice. I always get so proud listening to her do the voiceover. I think it was so good. So anyway, just contact Haley and she will set up a consultation with you. Thank you again to Kikori. And also, don't forget, Real Talk. This process, I swear, I use it all the time myself. Whenever I'm not speaking, whenever I don't feel free, go to realtalkwithhillary.com, order the book, take the Real Talk quiz, and let's chat and let's get you free. So, okay, we are back with Jackie. So, okay. So where were we? You were working, you were climbing the corporate ladder. You've learned about real estate, mortgages, finance. You have all your certifications and licenses and all that. Now when did you, obviously you were making money at that time. When did you move out from your mom's? That's what I was wondering. Or did you not?
Oh no, I moved out from my mom directly after college.
After you did? Okay.
My bachelor's, yes. I moved out then, right after college. So I was out on my own for a really young age, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And who watched your son while you were working after that?
I paid for daycare. So my son was always a daycare, after school kid. And basically the professional assistance of whoever was available at that time.
Okay. So you just made it work.
I did. I made it work. Yeah. I had to go to work. So that was it. So between my mom, if she was available, but for the most part, I paid for daycare. That was a huge my budget at that time. So my entire life, as far as like working career, there's always been the childcare expense because I was a single mom. So I have an affinity for other single moms as well, too, that have that as a challenge. And I'm here to share that you can have it all. So even if your childcare has been a challenge with growing your career and or going back to school or completing school, I am definitely an example of someone who accomplished a lot of different milestones in my life, even with having a child very, very early. And yes, I didn't say it wasn't painful, Hillary. It was a struggle, but it definitely can be done.
Did you ever have moments where you were just like, it's too much? Or you, I mean, I, obviously you couldn't afford to think that because you had a son, but just hearing the story, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like what if he was sick or what did you do? Like, obviously you just had to make it work, right?
You're so right. I don't remember giving myself the luxury of being tired or even acknowledging that something was wrong. I just didn't have that. And earlier I shared how I would put on the face, the happy face to make things work. So I pretended a lot, even in times that looking back, maybe I was depressed. Maybe I was going through those types of emotions, but I didn't know enough to even be able to acknowledge or make that connection that those were the thoughts that I was having. I just muddled through that process and put on the happy face because I had so much depending on me. I had to just continue with what I knew how to do, which was survive.
I know I'm feeling the pressure right here. Like, let just, I mean, I know when you just have to power through it, but at some point, for me at least, I lose it. And I like, I need to cry. I need to get it out. But you probably never had that chance, right? You just had to keep going.
Not during those phases of my life. In the latter parts currently is when I took the time out to navigate and investigate and figure out what was this thing. I believe it was my 40th birthday. I know I've heard it a lot, but it was about my 40th birthday. I just feeling really like lethargic, melancholy. I just didn't know what was going on with me. And I sought help, counseling, and went through program. I was recommended through Landmark. And that is when I had a lot of breakthroughs in my life. And I was able to make the connection between my experience in my childhood and how it actually affected my decision-making process as an adult in life. And that was a time that I cried. That was the time that I had the breakdown. During those moments was a time that I just really shed those layers of pretentiousness in my life so that I actually could just be free and be myself and have the fullness of self-expression. I learned who Jacqueline was. Everyone calls me Jackie because that's who I've been pretending to be. But during that period of time, I actually discovered Jacqueline. And I was like, oh, wow, who are you?
Wow. You know, I can sort of relate because I was fine. You know, I'm fine. That's how I went around. Like, I'm fine. And I remember one time I was someplace and I was going into volunteer into a room and the guy was like, I can't let you in. And I'm like, why? And he was like, I can't. I'm like, but I'm fine. And I kept arguing with him. And he was like, well, tell your face. I had no idea that I wasn't fine. Because it's just like with you. Well, you know, I had so learned to just keep going and do what you got to do and all that. And I had no idea. So, you know, when he said that, anyway, he taught me how to, you know, get over it and stuff. But I was like, I don't know what you're, I didn't know what he was talking about, that I wasn't fine, you know? Anyway, so I get it. So, yeah. So, okay. So you finally got to crack open. But in the meantime, that was 20 years later, right?
Yes.
So you went through 20 years of,
pretending. Oh, yes. 20. I was so good at it too, Hillary. Oh my goodness. Until I remember one day someone called me out on it as well, similar to experience that that you were sharing a moment ago. And it had to do with me asking for help. I had to learn how to ask for help. And I did not know how to do. I literally did not know how to ask for help. Asking for help for me, Hillary, was death. It was a failure. It felt like someone was murdering me. Even, you know, it just was like, it was hard because I pretended so long that everything was okay, if I stated that everything was okay, it automatically meant death. How was I going to deal with not okay? I don't know how to do not okay, right?
Or so, death. How are you going to do with death? It's not worth asking for help if it means death, right?
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. At least not. Right.
So how did you do it? Did you finally just ask and you realize, oh, I'm still here?
Well, at the time, I had a coach. I had someone that I could confide in. And they asked me to do a task. And the task was big. I needed to involve other people. And I just didn't want to ask for help. So I was taking it all on my own and getting very agitated and annoyed with the whole process. And finally, I said to my coach, I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this. You know, this is a whole adult, you know, breakdown. You know, that was the default, right? A tantrum. I don't want to do this. And I made it blame the task. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be accountable for what needed to be done in order to get it complete. And my coach to me said, you know what your problem is, Jackie? And I was like, what? Right? And my coach said, your problem is you don't want everybody to know that you are a fake. You are a big, big fake. That's what you are. And I was like, what?
What did you just say? Take it back. Oh, okay. Wait, your sound is off. Yeah, take it back. Okay.
Take it back. I said, I was like, take it back. Take it back. I don't want to be a fake. You know, I don't want. And then I sat with it for a while and with both of us on the phone in silence, just sitting in the mess in silence, crying, sobbing. And then that was like one of my turning points, that I acknowledged that that was what it was for me. I did not want anyone to know that I was a fake, that I was faking my entire life. I was faking my happiness. I was faking my joy. I was faking that I was satisfied with my career. I was faking that I was happy being a mom. I was faking that I was happy. I was just faking it, you know, and just going through life pretending to be something that I'm not, or just coping through life and just borderline like anxiety, right? And yeah, that was a moment that was really, really big for me to make that connection, that I didn't have words to describe what it is that I was running from and hiding from and pretending to be, until I realized that what it was, a fake, like a counterfeit. You know, if someone goes to a store and they try to pay with a counterfeit dollar, a counterfeit note, that's big jail time, right? It's such a big illegal process. So making that as an analogy for my life, I was counterfeit in every area of my life. And I did not know how to be real.
Mm. Wow.
I know.
Now, was that in the self-expression and leadership program by any chance? At Landmark?
Yes.
Was it about the project?
Yes.
Doing a project.
My project, yes.
I had a similar experience, which I don't want to take up a lot of time, but basically, I made a mistake. I had a square dance. I made a mistake with the money and I lost money on it. And I was fine. Like, I don't need to let anyone know. But when I told the leader, she had me ask the community for help. It was the same thing. I felt like I was naked. And these people, I stood at the door the last time, and these students that had no money were giving me dollars and quarters. And it was like, It's a Wonderful Life. By allowing them to help.
Mm-hmm.
Never had I. Yeah, so I can get it. You know, I think we were the same, fine, pretending, everything's fine. Anyway, okay, so what happened after that? Let's see, how much time do we have? We have like 8-9 minutes. So, wow, okay. So anyway, so what happened then? I know that's really big, and I appreciate your, you know, courage to tell it and to admit it. And, you know, I think You're probably not the only one. I was certainly living the same life as you. Everything's fine, right? I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So what happened after? My God, I know you changed careers. You had a daughter, all that stuff. How did you do that?
I have no idea.
Well, did anything change when you saw that, you were not being real? Hence getting real with Hillary, right? Like I don't think a lot of us are real because we do learn how to survive as this other, that you can call it the mask, you can call it this other personality. Being real is you feel vulnerable. So how did you do that?
Well, that's what I practice now. Back then, I didn't have the tools or the wherewithal to even understand how to navigate or put that together. So working in corporate America, I met plenty of investors, real estate, and all I wanted to do was be like them. So again, now I'm trying to be like something else. I'm morphing into another character again. So I try my hand at real estate, my first real estate transaction. I knew a lot. I was self-educated. I had a lot of certifications, licenses, and things of that nature. And I did my first deal, Hillary. However, what I did do was, unbeknownst to me at the time, it was the wrong property at the wrong time in the market, at the wrong location for the wrong price, using the wrong financing. Everything about it was absolutely wrong. So my first real estate deal, I lost $120,000 negative on top of the debt that I already had from being a mom, a single mom, credit cards, paying my own way through life, student loans that I had acquired, getting my education all the way up until that time. So I was multiple six figures in debt now. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So what happened to me, or what I ended up having to do, was file bankruptcy. And that also was a huge disappointment and blow to my ego. And now I'm like, okay, well, now what? How do I navigate this process with my finances? It was very, very tough. And working in banking, I also felt like a failure because here I am, feeling like a imposter, giving people advice about their finances, and I, in my own personal finances, is absolutely in shambles, just in shambles, right? So again, pretending, practicing the pretending, it was horrible. It's two living two different lives simultaneously, like a dual life. So I slowed down a bit, and I was like, okay, well, these investors, when they come into my branch, are very successful. I'm doing their wire transfers. I see the amount of money that they have in their account. So what did they do differently? Well, now I have to humble myself and start asking questions. And that's what I did. I asked them, like, what are you doing differently? And they introduced me to a whole different language and vocabulary and a different way of investing. And those techniques, those strategies that I was taught during that period of time, it revolutionized my life. I threw out traditional. My
Wow.
untraditional education is what really made me successful as well as prosperous in my life, financially prosperous in my life. My traditional education got me titles. And it got me to climb the corporate ladder and look like I was doing really well. But I was a professionally broke person. I was professionally broke, broke financially, and also broken as an individual in the heart, because I wasn't really being what I wanted to be. I was being what everybody else wanted me to be. Go to school, get good grades, get a good job. Look like you're professional, drive the car, finance everything, over finance everything. Now you're in debt, you're keeping up with the Joneses, you look great, you smell great, you smile great, everything is great. Someone asks you, how's your day? You say great, and it's not.
Wow. Wow. So how did you turn it all around? I'm just trying to get another piece of paper here. How did you turn it all around? My gosh.
Yeah, so my untraditional real estate education, I did have to be real during that period of time and let the people that I was with know what was happening in my world, all of my debt. And those investors, they listened, they didn't judge. And they were like, is that all? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to show you how to get out of debt because you're not the only one. Thinking to myself how horrible I've done and how much I've let myself down, my family down. Here I am with people who have had a similar experience and they were able to get out of it. And they didn't make it a personal failure. It was a decision that didn't work. So let's do something that does work. And I learned what worked. And it was so different from what I had done before that I had to train myself to let go of everything that I knew. I let go of banking. I let go of insurance. I let go of personal financing. I let go of what my parents told me. I let go of what aunties and uncles and all of the advice. I just had to let it go. It wasn't serving me. I wasn't benefiting from it. Anything that was good in their advice, I took it. And anything that was not serving me, I just let it go and just acknowledge that they did the best that they could with the information that they had at the time. And it was all shared with me out of love. Now I get to powerfully choose what works best for me and what brings me joy and what brings me happiness.
So I so wish we could hear how you did that. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have you back. But I just want to show everyone real quick the Jackie Jackson. This is her website. She is a successful real estate cash flow expert and has totally turned her life around. She's a coach and mentor to up. I mean, she's definitely done it. You know, we didn't get to hear how, but we'll definitely have her back so we can hear the rest of the story. But Jackie, wow, thank you so much for, yeah, I want to know more. But anyway, we'll get the rest. We'll get the rest another time. But what would you like to, you know, say to people? I mean, obviously you've been through so much. You didn't let it get to you. You didn't quit. What would you like to say to inspire others that, you know, maybe going through a hard time too?
Absolutely. For inspiration washes off pretty quickly, you know, like water in a shower. So it's aspiring to be your authentic self. Now that is going to take some work because you're going to have to discover who that is within you. But if you really dig deep enough, you'll know because it never went away. It was always there. It was that passion that ignited you when you were 5 years old, when you were 6 years old, when you were whatever, in your childhood stages, when you could dream and imagine. If you can get back to that place and allow yourself to experience it, life will never be the same again for you. Aspire to be that child again.
Wow. Thank you so much. You are such an inspiration and just thank you for being so real and for talking about stuff that most people don't talk about. And that's the point of this show is to allow people to be their real selves. So thank you. Just thank you.
And thank you also, Hillary, for having me on the show. I really do appreciate you allowing me to share my story.
Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.